These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
And welcome. I am Chris Cook. This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado. Thank you for joining me. Got a question for you guys tonight. Should we be welcoming the Syrian refugees? Do you think this is something that we need to be doing here in the U.S.? And I don't want to argue theology with you. I want to argue practicalities with you, because there are some very, very disturbing facts about the current wave of refugees that are coming into the country. Of course, Secretary of State Kerry has decided that we will welcome in with open arms, as we do here in America, 85,000 refugees in this next year, at least 10,000 of which are going to be Syrians. Of course, we can't vet these refugees. We can't determine whether or not they have any sort of terrorist leanings or jihadi connections. We can't do that because Syria is a quote-unquote failed state. But up to one-fifth of them believe that ISIS is a positive influence. We know that much, okay? We know that ISIS is coming in with these refugees, as many as one in five, 20%. Think about that for a second. We're welcoming in the enemy, resettling them with our taxpayer funds, putting them into houses, giving them assistance, giving them welfare, giving them some forms of public assistance that even we don't qualify for as American citizens. Now, I get the emotion of the concept of refugees. I get that. I get this idea that these people are in grave danger in their homes. They are in grave danger. They need to leave. They need to get out. And we should be, as Americans, generous. And we are a generous people. I mean, we really are. They're in trouble. We're here to help. That's the instinct. That is the instinctive reaction of just about every single American that I know. They're in trouble. We're here to help. That is what we do. We are those people. We are that people. That is what we provide. But we have to really begin to think about whether or not American lives matter. Think about that for a second. Do American lives matter? Do we sacrifice ourselves at the feet of others who want our destruction simply because we feel there may be a small chance that maybe they're not out for our destruction, or they can be convinced otherwise, as the leftist PC would like to convince us? This is the problem, and this is the struggle that I think Americans are going through right now. We want to be generous. We do want to be generous, and I'm not going to urge anyone not to be generous. Let's be generous. Let's be a generous people. But do we have to welcome in wholesale 85,000 people, about approximately 75% of whom are Muslim, 75% of whom actually within the confines of their religion want our destruction? Do we have to do that in order to prove ourselves to be a generous people? I don't think we do. I don't think we do. So up to 85,000 refugees, including at least 10,000 Syrians, hoping to increase that to 100,000 refugees. That's what Kerry is hoping to do in the year 2017. We can't vet them. We can't determine who they are. We can't determine where their loyalties lie. We're simply reacting to the situation. the refugees who come here, we've seen this happen time after time, are turning to terrorism. They're being radicalized here in the U.S. Even if they didn't come here as ISIS infiltrators, they are still being radicalized here in the U.S. There are Muslims of America has terrorist training camps all throughout the U.S., 32 of them, I believe. One of them's in Buena Vista, 125 miles from Denver. That is not far. This is where the terrorist cells originate. This is where this stuff happens, where the connections are made, where the training happens, where folks are taught how to make bombs, how to wage jihad, how to annihilate the infidel. And that's you and me. And that's happening in Buena Vista, Colorado, 125 miles from Denver. Are we going to welcome in people who are going to swell their ranks so that they can annihilate us even more efficiently? Is that something that we want to do? Think about that. Think about that for a second. At some point, even leaving aside the terrorism aspect, at some point, this isn't immigration any longer. It's colonization. The problem, if you've ever listened to Tom Tancredo speak, of course, he at one point was my co-host on Brand Z back when I had a radio show. He talks about how the problem is that there is no assimilation. These immigrants come in. It used to be historically that the immigrants would come in waves, and they would come to this country and they would settle in America. And yes, they would have their conclaves where, you know, Italian Americans would congregate and Polish Americans and German Americans, but they would assimilate until they became Americans. And that was the way it happened. And that's why it happened in waves. It happened. We had the Irish come, they became Americans. We had the Germans come, they became Americans. They became part of the fabric of our culture. They wove themselves in. But that is not what's happening now. That is not the case with the current waves of immigrants that are sitting within our shores. At this point, there are 44 million immigrants in the U.S. That's approximately one in six people in the United States. And many, many, a vast majority of those are not assimilating into American culture. They are not learning English. They are not assimilating into the financial structure of this country, learning how to be a part of the productive part of society. That's not part of the culture. That's not part of what they're doing. They are here to be Mexicans in America. They are here to be Saudis in America. They are here to be Somalis in America. They are not here to be Americans. And without that assimilation, without weaving into the fabric of the society that we have here in America, that is a problem. And it does become colonization. It's a takeover by these countries of our country, our sovereign nation, the place where we the people own the power, theoretically, but we haven't asserted it in so long that we can no longer fight back against this kind of stuff. And this is the problem. And we want to be generous. We want to be part of the solution. We want to help people who are in trouble. We definitely want to do that. But do we have to sow the seeds of our own destruction in order to make that happen? Now, here's the question. We can stop this. More specifically, our representatives can stop this. We have a continuing resolution coming up in 7 days. In 7 days, if no continuing resolution is passed by Congress, who holds the power of the purse strings, regardless of whether or not John Boehner has forgotten that, we can stop this by putting one sentence in that continuing resolution. No money will go to the resettlement of Syrian refugees in the United States. We can stop this. We can put a pause button on it and consider Who are we inviting in? Who are these people who are coming to our shores? Do they honestly need refugee status, or are they actually terrorists seeking our destruction that we are welcoming with open arms and then financing with our own money, with the stuff that we earn and that comes out of our pockets by the force of the government? Are we actually sowing the seeds of our own destruction in this resettlement scheme? That's the real question. If we can just hit the pause button on that for just a while until we can figure that damn question out, boy, wouldn't that be nice. My goodness, wouldn't that be nice? We have to stand up for who we are as a people, as Americans. We have to. Everyone else in the world does. Everyone else in the world seems to have very little problem doing this. They get hit back by the leftist media, sure, but they don't have a problem picking this up. Who I'm particularly thinking of right now is the Prime Minister of Hungary. Okay, now Hungary at one point was under the Ottoman Empire. And we really need to turn to them and listen to some of the things they have to say. The Prime Minister of Hungary, his name is Viktor Orban. And he said this, and I thought this was great. He said, "Those arriving have been raised in another religion, represent a radically different culture. Most of them are not Christians, but Muslims. This is an important question because Europe and European identity is rooted in Christianity. We do not want to criticize France, Belgium, any other country in the EU. But we think all countries have a right to decide whether they want to have a large number of Muslims in their countries. If they want to live together with them, they can. We, the Hungarians, do not want to. And I think we have a right to decide that we do not want a large number of Muslim people in our country. We do not like the consequences of having a large number of Muslim communities that we see in other countries. And I do not see any reason for anyone else to force us to create ways of living together in Hungary that we do not want to see." Now, Hungary is one of the only countries, I'm not sure if they're the only one, but they are one of the only countries in the EU who actually experienced the Ottoman Empire. 150 years of ISIS times 10. Think about that for a second. All the beheadings, all the crucifixions, all of the massacres, the slave markets, the rape camps, all of that stuff times 10 for 150 years. Think of the horror of that. Think of that happening here in America. Think about that, okay? Just for a minute. And you recoil when you think about that. You recoil for two reasons. First of all, because it is horrific. But you also recoil because the politically correct leftist media has left you with the impression that if you think about refugees, if you think about Muslims in that fashion, you are not being generous. You are not being a good Christian if you think about people like that. Even Pope Francis is putting this kind of crap down on us. This is the problem. We've got the leftists, the progressives, who have told us that if we are who we say we are, then we will not think of other people having done that kind of thing. We will ignore history. We will completely ignore the facts on the ground. We will listen only to them. We will listen only to their rhetoric that says the Muslims are a peaceful people. They only want peace. They only want submission. Except they never use the word submission. They never actually make that parallel. They never translate Islam correctly. It is submission. Muslims are given full license to wage war against infidels. That, again, is you and me. They're given full license to do that. And we're going to invite them onto our soil. We're going to invite people who want to wage jihad against us onto our soil. And then give them everything they need to survive? Really? How dumb can we possibly be? But how do you reconcile this? How do you reconcile being a Christian, being generous, wanting to help people, and wanting to do good in the world with your own survival? How do you reconcile these things? We'll talk about that when we come back. You into that freemusicarchive.org. Go check out their music. They provide all the music for my podcast, and it's just a great site. It's a lot of fun to explore. So we're talking about how do you reconcile wanting to be generous and wanting to give to people who are in need and your own survival, people who would take advantage of that. Now, you know, I mean, that if that happens, you know, here in America, somebody takes advantage of you, well, you've been scammed. You have legal recourse. You have ways to get back on that. If you do it to a jihadi, if you offer open arms and refugee status and everything that they need to survive and invite them in so that they can join the Muslims of America and they can go down to the training camps and they can learn how to be part of a terrorist cell and wage jihad on American soil, what do you do then? You're dead. So how do you reconcile this? How do you reconcile this? And this is the problem. And I think it's wise at this point to start looking at the experience of other countries, looking at the experience of those who have already had a huge influx of Muslims that have taken over their country. There is a gentleman by the name of Father Daniel Biantoro. He's a Muslim convert to Christianity. And he's from Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim nation in the world, okay? They didn't start out that way. They started out as a Hindu-Buddhist kingdom. Listen to his words talking about what happens with that. For thousands of years, my country, Indonesia, was a Hindu-Buddhist kingdom. The last Hindu king was kind enough to give a tax-exempt property for the first Muslim missionary to live and to preach his religion. Slowly, the followers of the new religion were growing, and after they became so strong, the kingdom was attacked. Those who refused to become Muslims had to flee for their lives. Slowly, from the Hindu-Buddhist kingdom, Indonesia became the largest Islamic country in the world. If there is any lesson to be learnt by Americans at all, the history of my country is worth pondering upon. We are not hate-mongering, bigoted people. Rather, we are freedom-loving, democracy-loving, and human-loving people. We just don't want this freedom and democracy to be taken away from us by our ignorance and misguided, quote, political correctness and the pretension of tolerance. And isn't that exactly where we are today? Isn't that exactly what's going on? The problem, I mentioned Viktor Orban, who's the Prime Minister of Hungary. Here's what happens. The Guardian, which is a UK newspaper, mocks and trivializes Orban's position. They decide that he is not PC enough. He is not doing what the left wants him to do, which is to ignore the truth about Islam, which is to ignore the stark cultural differences that present a threat to Western democracy and Western republics. This is what The Guardian had to say. Hungary has a history with the Ottoman Empire, and Orban is busy conjuring it. The Ottoman Empire is striking back, he warns. They're taking over. Hungary will never be the same again. Hence the wire. Note that he built a fence. That's my aside. He built a fence, okay? Hence the wire. Hence the army. Hence, as from today, the state of emergency. Hence the fierce, unrelenting rhetoric of hatred. because that is what it has been from the very start. Sheer, crass hostility and slander. Folks, it's not slander. It's not hostility. It is not hatred. It is a recognition of the truth. It is a recognition that my self-preservation is important. Hashtag American Lives Matter. It's really important that we keep that in mind. You know what? Here's the thing. It feels good to give in the short term. It feels absolutely wonderful to open your arms to people who might be dangerous to you, and yet you are overcoming that. You are getting beyond that, and you are opening your arms to them and saying, please come in. We want to help. We know that you may present a danger, but we want to help. And that it does feel good. But how much longer can we survive as a nation if we continue to do that? How can we be that shining city on the hill? How can we do the things that need to be done for the cause of liberty, for the cause of freedom all over the world, if we no longer exist? Think about that for a second. How much good are we doing in the course of history if we self-destruct? We have to be self-preservationists first because we have so much to give. Sounds contradictory. We have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our soil. We have to protect our children first because we do have so much to offer to the world. We have a constitution that has never seen its like on the face of the earth. We have guarantees of our freedom that have never been realized in the course of human history. Those things make us a beacon. And yes, it is part of what draws everybody here. This is why everybody wants to come to America, is because of our freedom, but it's also our vulnerability. You combine that with our generous spirit, and we are sowing the seeds of our own self-destruction. We have to guard against that. We have to be smart. Why is it so hard to be smart? Why is it so hard for our leaders to realize that the smart thing to do is to actually vet these people, to interview them, to make sure that they do not have jihadi connections, to look into their backgrounds? Why is that so difficult? Why do we have to, quote unquote, expedite the process? Why do we have to make sure that they get in here as quickly as possible? Why do we have to make sure that they get out into the United States as quickly as possible? But that is what they're doing. They are resettling them all over the U.S., here in Colorado, everywhere. And that is the problem. They're putting them in our own backyards, these people who want our death. These people who chant death to America. They're coming in through these refugee camps. They're coming in through these refugee streams and trying to destroy the West because we do not believe as they do. We are not them. And so we are infidels. And so we are the enemy. And so they want to come here. No, so they want to come here and destroy us. Get the full picture. There's another very ironic, I think, quote. A Buddhist leader in Burma, a guy named Ashin Warathu, and he's very popular. The media refer to him as the Burmese bin Laden. I mean, how much more derogatory can you get? He's a Buddhist. He believes in loving kindness. Okay? I mean, this is that guy. He staunchly opposes a Muslim presence in Myanmar, and he says this: you can be full of kindness and love, but you can't sleep next to a mad dog. I call them troublemakers because they are troublemakers. I mean, this guy's a Buddhist, for crying out loud, and he's saying this. So I think it's worth having some cognizance of what experiences other countries have had in dealing with this type of immigration stream, in dealing with Muslims trying to basically take over their country. This is no longer immigration. It's colonization. They're not trying to assimilate into American culture or Burmese culture or Indonesian culture. They are trying to take over those countries. That is exactly what they're trying to do. Indonesia was colonized by Muslims. They used to be something completely different. Now they are ruled by Sharia. If you are an infidel, you are in trouble. You are going to be threatened, if not killed. Okay? So that is the way that it works. Do we want to see that happen here in America? Do we want to see our Constitution burned on the front steps of the White House? I don't think so. Not where I'm trying to take this country. Trying to save the Republic. We're trying to save the Republic. Doing that means we have to safeguard it. We have to be careful about what we are doing with it and with our generous spirit. We have to be smart about how we do this. We really do. Western Europe can pretty much go to hell, and that is exactly where they're going to go. It's exactly where they're going to take themselves. The refugee stream that's coming in, the way that Germany is trying to shame the rest of Europe, especially the Eastern Bloc, who can't afford to take in these refugees. Hungary and Poland and Slovakia, these folks can't afford to take in these refugees. They can barely afford to run their own countries as they are. But as Hungary's prime minister talks about it, it's Germany's moral imperialism that is forcing them through the EU, through the mechanism of the EU, to take these refugees in spite of the financial hardship. How much do you think this is going to cost Americans? It's like $2.5 billion for 10,000 Syrian refugees. And then the rest of the refugees cost even more. $2.5 billion. Think about that. It's an astounding figure. It's an absolutely astounding figure. One that we cannot afford. If we are going to survive, we have got to look after our own interests first. That does not make us selfish. That means we survive. And that, ultimately, in the history of the world, is the more important thing. We need to survive. We need to be that beacon. We need to be that example for the rest of the world, for all these other countries, for all these people in these other countries, even the refugees who want to come here. We need to be an example of a self-assertive people, a self-assertive country that has boundaries. That says, you know what? You can't treat us like this. We are not your crash pad. It's almost like, you know, when you get into a relationship with somebody, if you don't stand up for who you are, if you don't stand up for the things that make you you and that make you safe, then you lose yourself in that relationship and it goes downhill from there. You never get a chance to actually have a healthy interaction with that person because you completely lost who you were. We as Americans are in danger of losing who we are. We have to be assertive. We have to have boundaries. On a nation level, that's called borders, and we should protect them from refugees and illegal immigrants alike. We really need to do this. So think about that. And it is a little disconcerting, especially when you're somebody who has a generous spirit. You want to help. You see these people in pain. You see these pictures of these tiny children who have tried to cross the Mediterranean in boats and they've been killed, washed up on shore. It's heartbreaking. You want to do everything you can to help. Maybe what we ought to do is try to form some sort of an alliance with Putin, who is now in Syria, and see if we can end the civil war. Maybe what we ought to do is try to set up some sort of refugee settlement or refugee help within Syria itself. Maybe we ought to do that. Maybe what we ought to do is beat the living crap out of ISIS and get them gone so they are no longer creating this problem in the Middle East. Maybe that's what we can do for these refugees. Maybe that would be the thing for us to do. But to invite terrorists onto our own soil out of our own generous spirit is simply self-destruction. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. I hope you'll come find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado. Tell your friends. If you hate the things I have to say, share my podcast with your friends so they can be equally outraged. grrc.podomatic.com. You can also email me, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. And remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.